the story of God's love. The story of God's love. I don't know about any of you. Have you ever been in love? You know, I hope some of you, at least Roger's in love. He's not going to get in trouble when he gets home. And Sam's going to be like, thank you. Any other husband in the place, you may be in trouble now. So the altars will be open if you need prayer and wives for forgiveness as well at the end. I fell in love with my beautiful wife, back in, 2007, I think it was, we met. No, 2006. Now I'm getting in trouble. But I remember falling in love with her literally the first time I met. I was in a worship band. I was playing, and she saw me. She thought, look at that handsome guy. And I thought, look at that beautiful young lady. And then the second time, no joke, second time I met her, we were what we call a cell group, a house group meeting. And I didn't realize she was going to be there. We met, and I literally, this hasn't happened many times, but the audible voice of God said, that is the person that you're going to marry. And I went, I won't tell her that. You know, can you imagine that second time of seeing the person? Hey, we're not even like speaking really that much and going, hey, God told me that we're going to get married. We probably wouldn't. But anyway, but I had a case of the soul loves with Becca. You know, I just fell so madly, deeply in love that I decided that we both decided we were going to get married. But I came over here. You know, case of the soul loves made me come over to America and start a beautiful family, I think. I hope you guys think that they're beautiful. They're a little wild, especially D.C. But the main scripture verse that I want us to read today, talking about God and the soul love, is what Tim opened up this service about. It's one of the most familiar, if not the most familiar, piece of scripture that is around. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, it's a case of the so loves. God so loved. It wasn't a case of God just loved, but it was a case of the so love. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever come across any parents that have a bad case of the so loves? Anybody? You know, and this is what I mean by the case of the soul loves. I try and go to a lot of sporting events of students. I was able to see Caleb and Hunter play basketball this year. They did great. And but their parents, when you see, you know exactly whose kid they are because they've got a case of the soul love. They've literally got like the whole high school gear on. They've got names on the back. And whatever their kid does, unless you're Renee, is amazing. No, I'm joking with you, Renee. You know that. And so I sat with Renee during basketball, and I was like, hey, that was a great shot by Caleb. She was like, yeah, it was okay. You know, and so, but here's the one thing, though, is when Caleb, like, jumped up and dunked the ball, not that he did that, but I'm in an interpretive way, but she went nuts. Like, when Caleb did something awesome, like, she went crazy. She was like, yeah, you know, and she was passionate about her son playing basketball. Why? Because she has a case of the soul loves. Now, me, I'm from England, and I don't really, you know, try and associate with the case of the soul loves, but like I shared with my church a couple months back, I was coaching soccer, and Bella was doing soccer. You know, we're talking about like U5s here at this point. Bella was playing. Bella, bless her, would rather have been like picking the grass, twirling around, you know, going all crazy. But DC, on the other hand, well, he's my little soccer buddy. And so his first game, he jumps in, he picks the ball up. And so, you know, this is when the case of the soul loves really came into my being, I suppose. Because DC picked up the ball. He started running toward that goal, like doing all these step overs, you know, looking like he's like a professional soccer player. He puts it in the goal. I think I'm more excited than DC is. I'm like, yeah, that's my son. I'm taking my shirt off. I'm like, whoa! You know what I'm saying? That's a case of the soul loves. You get what I'm saying? And here is the thing. God so loved the world. God is looking at you and saying, individually knows every single one of your name is saying, I so love you. Like to the point where I think that, you know, God is all sin. He's everywhere, okay? And so when we're sleeping, I really believe that God's just looking at us. Just going, that's my child. I love him. You know, I've woken up a couple of times. I don't know if you have, with probably not with my child, but with maybe one of your own child or grandchild or something. But Josie loves to wake me up by just being right in my face. And sometimes she's getting real sweet. She'll give me a little kiss, you know, but it's kind of creepy. You know, I'm sleeping. It's like, whoa, okay. You know, first thing. But I believe that God loves you so much that you're his child. You're his child. And he is so, so proud of you. You know, you may be in a place tonight where you're going, I'm kind of running away. I don't know where I'm at. I don't even know if I even believe in this Jesus that we're celebrating this week. And I'm reminded of a story in the Old Testament. It's a story in Hosea. And I'm not going to read it apart from one scripture verse, but I'm going to give you guys just an overview of the first three chapters. But here there's a guy called Hosea. He is a prophet. He is if we're going to look at it in modern day terms, he is a pastor. Okay, he is a man of God. And God tells him that there is this woman called Gomer. And this woman called Gomer, she is a lady that, we got kids, so I'll be, but she sells herself, okay? She is a woman that is known for just being out there and doesn't have a good reputation. And God says, you're going to marry her because I want to show my love for Israel through your relationship. Here's Hosea, and he's probably thinking at this point, really, God, you know, here I am saving myself for marriage, and this is who I've been given? But he's faithful. He marries her. They have three kids. And by the time the third kid comes around, though, the first kid comes around, the marriage is going pretty good. Again, this is the Chris translation, but the marriage is going pretty good. Everything's going great. But by the time the third kid comes along, and things are kind of getting a little crazy. He's there, Hosea is there, he's going out preaching. He's going out there and just doing what God's telling him to do. Gomer is back at home, meant to be looking after the kids, and Hosea starts hearing some rumors that she may not be being faithful. And then one night, he wakes up, she's gone. She's gone. His wife has left him. He's got three kids. He's heartbroken. He doesn't know what to do with himself. And so Hosea there is just in a bad place. He's in such a bad place. And then God speaks to him in Hosea chapter 3, verses 1. The Lord speaks to him and says, and the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again. And even though she commits adultery with another lover, this will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. So his wife's left him. I mean, I don't know if you're a husband in this situation. You may be looking at this going, there's no way I'm going to go find her again. But God said, go find her. Go find her. And see, the interesting thing here is that not just that he's been told to go find her, but slap bang in the middle of what is going on here in this time in Israel, that there's some major prosperity going on, that everything is going well in for them, and love is a major theme. But the three philosophies that they had about love is this. The first thing is that they believed that love could be purchased. You could purchase love. It's just a thing. I'll give you $10 and you can love me. It's like it's crazy to think about, but that's what they believe. The second thing that they thought about love is that it is the pursuit of self-gratification. Love is about me. It's not about anybody else. I'm going to pay for love. And it's what I can get. It's about self-gratification. The third thing is that love can be found in objects. Let me repeat those three things of what was going back in there. And then just start thinking about today. In today's society, the first thing is what we said is that they believe that love can be purchased. The second was that they thought that love is the pursuit of self-gratification. And thirdly, that love can be found in objects. This was 700 years ago, before Jesus came. And we're still struggling with the same things today. We're still struggling with these things. We got kids that are so being, I don't know the word, but the world just manipulated their thought on what love is. That their thought on love is basically what Israel thought at this point. But this is why God was using Hosea and Gomer as an example. Because as I said, the Lord said, go and find your wife. Go and love your wife again. Bring her out. See, Hosea was a faithful husband. His wife was unfaithful. You know why? We don't understand why, but I think the reason behind it was just that was something that she was used to prior to her marriage to Hosea. She was just used to, that was it. She didn't think much about herself. And it was the easy thing to do. I mean, she probably was in this good marriage with Hosea Gomer was, and probably looking at it going, I don't deserve this. I'm out of here. I'm going to go back to, because I just don't feel like I even deserve to be in this good relationship. So I'm going to go back to the old ways. So there she does. Hosea, being the good husband, though, and the man of God that he was, listens to God. Goes on and says, so I brought her back to 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. Then I said to her, you must live in my house for many days. You see, what happened here was Hosea then had to go find his wife. A lot of philosophers and theologians think that where she was at a place that she was selling herself. Can you imagine this man of God, Hosea, this man of God having to go into the darkest parts of this area? This is a man of God, you know? And he has to go find his wife. And then has to purchase her back. Can you imagine being in this room, seeing his wife up on a platform maybe, and then having to buy her back? I can't imagine that. But God told him that. Why? Because I really believe that Hosea here loved Gomer with all his heart. But that God was wanting to show the Israelites how much he loved them. And do you know what? This isn't just a story for the Old Testament. This is for today. He's using the same story 700 years before Christ to show us today how much he loves us. See, God's unconditional love is through this act of redemption, I suppose. When Hosea brought Gomer back, he redeemed her. He set her free. And she stayed. I don't think she felt guilty. I think she honestly, in that situation, probably went, he did that for me? He must love me. Say, we don't really hear much in the Bible after that, but we do know they stayed together. You see, Gomer did not deserve to be redeemed. You see, her behavior did not merit such mercy. Israel did not deserve God's love. Their unfaithfulness did not merit such mercy. And in the same way, you and I really don't deserve salvation. Our sin does not merit such mercy. But yet, as we are celebrating right now during this Easter period, God sent his only son because he so loved us. He so loved us that he sent his only son to, as the skit said, you know, showed, to break every chain in your life. To break every chain in your life. And it's not because we deserve it, but it's because his mercy demands it. His mercy demands it. You know, and aren't you glad that God doesn't treat us how we should be treated, but God treats us like we're this awesome child because he loves us. There's a scripture verse in the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, verse 10. And it says, he does not punish us for all our sins, and he does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Why? Because that was put on Jesus. When we see Jesus up on this cross, I don't know about you, but I just think, really, was there no other way? But no, there wasn't, because that should be me. But yet God so loves each and every one of us individually. So loves us that he was willing to send his only son to die on a cross for us. Now can you see though the connection between the story that we just looked at with Hosea and Gomer and us? You see that there's this beautiful story here. There's an element that there is this loving God. There is the faithless human heart, and then there is the deceptive attractiveness of the world. And too many times we fall into this, don't we? This story is your story. This story is my story. We may not have done what Gomer did, but maybe you're here tonight and you've been running away. Maybe you've been in, you recognize that Jesus is who he says he is. But you've been running away from him. You've kind of done a Gomer. You've been there, and now it's like, I don't deserve it. Or things happen. Maybe some pain happened in your life, and you went, God, where are you? I'm leaving. I'm out of here. But you know what this story shows me? This story shows me that God would go at any length to get you back. Tonight, God is going at any length. He's going, you're my child. I don't want you living this way. Come back. Come back. I love you. I love you. You see, he is drawing each and every one of us to him. We just have to, as even Roger said, hear that still small voice. He's a gentleman. But he is pursuing after you. He is wanting to show his love to you. You know that there is this, at Bethlehem, God entered the slave market. He entered the slave market where the whole human race was basically putting itself up for auction. We were giving ourselves away. We had cheapened life. But on that cross, our Lord Jesus Christ paid the price. He paid the price in full. Why? So we could be free. So we could be free. You know, he has a loving desire to make sure that he is pursuing us. He has a case of the so loves. Even so in 1 John, not John, but 1 John, verse 11, he said, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God so loved us that we ought to love one another. You see, I don't know about you, how you got to know Jesus for the first time. I grew up in a Christian household, but I would every Easter go to this event called Easter People, kind of a cheesy name when we think about it now, but we would go, and I remember there was a guy who was just talking about Jesus, and he said, you know, you may have grown up in a Christian home, but you never accepted Jesus into your life. And I was like, that's me. I fell in love with Jesus. I know who Jesus was at that point, but I fell in love with him. I started reading about who this Jesus was. You see, you know, I kind of grew up thinking that God was a kind of a mean God. That God was this God that just was telling me all these things that I couldn't do. And if I didn't do them, he was going to strike me down with lightning. You know, anybody else being that way? And then I met Jesus. I met Jesus. And I realized that God so loved me. That God is that crazy parent that I was talking about at the beginning. The crazy parent is just like, that's my kid. You know? He's looking at each and every one of you. He knows each and every one of your name. And going, that's my kid. That's my child. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Yet too many people today are running away from it. They're being Gomers. And so tonight as we come to a close, I hope your response is the same as kind of Gomer's. That you realize that you don't deserve to be where you're at, but you've been paid completely in full because there's somebody that loves you. You may be in a place tonight where, honestly, you've been running away and God's drawing you back in. You may be at a place of hurt and saying, God, how can you even be in the situation that I'm in? God's silently saying, you're my child. I've got your back. You can do this. You can get through this. You know, I don't know why some things happen to us. I know that we have sin that is in this world, and that's why bad things happen. That's not God. You know, that's the whole point of heaven, is because when we get to heaven, it's going to be awesome. There's going to be like no sin. We're going to just have a great time loving God, worshiping God. But until that day happens, then yeah, unfortunately, there's going to be some tough decisions that you have to make. But God is there alongside you. God is the God that will give you peace and comfort in those situations. And you see, you may be in a place that if you're enslaved, God wants to bring you back. You may be in a place that if you're lost, just know that God is out there and He is there. He sent somebody to find you. His name is Jesus. You know, if you're ashamed, God will cover you. If you have wandered off, God wants to bring you home. And if you've given up on God, God's not giving up on you. God's not giving up on you. No matter where you are, God sees you, He hears you, and He loves you. He's got a bad case of the so loves. I want to end in a scripture verse, and I honed in on it just a little bit, but it's a psalm. Psalm 103. I'm not going to read all of it, but I think that it's very true to what we've been talking about tonight. Just starting at verse 2, it says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sin and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed His character to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins, and He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him. For He knows how weak we are. He remembers that we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear Him. His salvation extends to the children's of children, of those who are faithful to His covenant, of those who obey His commandments. The Lord has made the heavens His throne. From there He rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out His plans, listening for each of His commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do all his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created and everything in all his kingdom, that all that I am, praise the Lord. I hope that that's a reminder to you tonight of just how much God loves you. We're getting ready to just play a track. And I want to encourage you just on a couple of things here. The first thing is, if you don't know Jesus and you want to know him like I did, you want to fall in love with him, we'd love to pray with you. But it's up to you to make the decision. I can't make it for you. I can tell you how much he's changed my life, how much I'm grateful for what he did on a cross. But if that's you, we want to pray for you. Maybe also you're at a place, you've been like Gomer. You were in a relationship with Jesus, but you ran away, and you want to get back on track. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Maybe you're at a place where you know Jesus, but you've kind of forgotten how much he loves you, and you're feeling lonely. Again, we want to pray with you and let God just resonate in your heart and remind you that he so loves you. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to be at the front here. I'm going to ask some of my deacons and their wives, if they will just come on up as well. We're going to be up here. And if you want prayer for anything, or maybe you're at a place and, you know, you can't, you know, get up here, we'll come to you. Just raise your hand, and we want to pray with you. Let me pray, though. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you so love us, God. God, that you so love us. Lord, that we are your children. And so, Father, I pray now, God, if there is anybody here that doesn't know you, Lord, that you would just tug on their hearts. Lord, that they will know that you are pursuing them. That you're saying, you're kind of tugging at their sleeve and saying, I'm here, I love you. Lord, I pray if there is somebody here that is maybe at a place where they feel like they've run away, that again, you'd let them know, come back, my arms are open. I want to hug you, I want to love you. Come back home. Lord, if there is anybody here that is just feeling unloved right now, Lord, I pray that your love and mercies will just flow upon them, God, that even as we are praying right now to you, God, that your spirit will just fall on them, Lord. Lord, that you will just fill them up with your love, that they will know how much that you love them. So, you so love them, God. And so, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. Lord, come and have your way in Jesus' name.